Yeah, Ben Fankhauser.
Becky Galsvig.
Awesome. And I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here to talk Beautiful, the Carole King musical. I saw this thing here last night, guys, and it was so much fun. I mean, I've seen a ton of shows here. I was just telling her, but few have the audience clapping along and singing the words. There's even some people in the audience that you could tell like they were a little nervous to sing, but like, and then as the show got along, they were just like, oh, screw it, I'm going to be out. So, I mean, talk about just sort of by nature, why that is this sort of a show where people feel like they can kind of almost be involved in the singing because they know all the songs.
Right.
It's fun because people do know the songs, and there's also a lot of surprises in that Carole wrote for other people. So there are songs that we know and love that we don't know are hers. And when you come in knowing you love Carole, knowing you love her music, and then you get that, you hear it, and it sounds awesome, you win. And then we also deliver a great story on top of that, which I think a lot of people aren't expecting. So when you are surprised and invested in rooting for this character, you know, as she explores the soundtrack that you know and love, it's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think with Carole's music being the backdrop of our story, it evokes a certain sense of nostalgia with the audience. You know, you remember hearing "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow" for the first time. You remember hearing "You Got a Friend" for the first time. And I think it allows the audience to make that personal connection that is sort of rare if we're going to see the theater and you see a wonderful story, but to get to have that participation, you know what I mean, with that personalization, with the nostalgia, is that extra sense of je ne sais quoi that really gets the audience clapping and reacting, like you said.
You heard it right here, je ne sais quoi. I don't even know if I said that right.
That's
right.
Fancy.
Spell it now and use it in a sentence.
No, I'm just kidding. That's a word from our sponsor.
Actually, you just did use it in a sentence. It's like you're saying, it's sort of that, you know, what's the phrase, a jukebox musical in a way. Is it tougher to do something like that and make sure that you still tell, you know, a story arc with your character? Or is it not that much of a difference?
Well, I think this, yes, technically is a jukebox musical, but it's crafted really well. The story is so good and so important, I think, to share. I love being a part of this story. I love what people can take away from it and learn from it and root for, and it's a really heart-wrenching and heartwarming sort of story, and inspirational as well. But we definitely like to focus on the play within the musical, and because it's about them writing music, we're allowed to just sit and enjoy the songs. They're not trying to make anything more out of the songs, but they're trying to make everyone notice what it might have felt like the first time you heard it,
right,
which is new and fresh by nature.
Right.
But we're not trying to, you know, tell a new crazy made-up story using their music. We're just telling their story, and so it actually suits really well.
Yeah, and on top of all the fun songs, like you're saying, there's a deep connecting tissue in the actual story that's going on. I'm sure as actors, that's what you really dive into and deal with, you know. In case you're listening to this and you've never seen the play or the musical, this is the rival duo here. You know, you guys are dueling with Carole and her husband, trying to one up each other with all these hits and watching the Billboard charts, and it's so much fun. At least, I mean, to me, in terms of the actual characters you guys play, the real meat of it is this, his certainty that he wants to settle down, and you're not so sure, and you guys kind of go through this awesome arc. How do you get, I guess, mentally prepared to play the part where you're so sure that you want this, and that she's not yet?
You know what? It's not too hard to dive in. As an artist and an actor, I feel the connection to the work that Barry feels to his work. So as an actor, I get to go, how do I go deeper tonight, and how do I give a more authentic performance tonight? The same way that Barry in real life was saying, how do I write a better song now? How do I one-up Carole and Jerry? So it's sort of this cool parallel that I can place onto this role. And the love story is awesome. To get to pursue someone like, you know, love at first sight type of thing is really fun and exciting. And I love the way that it is sort of juxtaposing Carole and Jerry's story. They sort of crisscross like that. And it's really fun. And I find it to be an endless well of, you know, digging within yourself, of trying to make that story work.
How about for you? Is it a similar digging within yourself?
She plays kind of hard to get for a while.
Yeah.
But I think everyone knows that he's got her. And even she knows it.
Right.
But you see her sort of holding him off at an arm's length because she wants to be strong. And
it's like this little weird mental game she has going on.
And it's so real. It's their dynamic and how the roles are written into the show, I feel like, it's so relatable. It's every couple's, you know, conversation or, trying to make up. Well, I did this for you. Well, okay, that's fine. Maybe you can try it. You know, it's all these little, our scenes, some of them are quite short, but they're, as Ben would say, delicious. They're perfectly placed to give you either as an audience member the lift that you need or to give us that little in and out of our own relationship. It's really fun. And going back to just the show being well crafted, like you feel like you just gotta get in, you just gotta board the train and start telling that story, and it just rolls.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
I think that it's also something that just dawned on me now. It's cool to watch two people that are really invested in their career try and make love work, especially the same career and their songwriting partners. I think four people really. Exactly. I think it's a nice story as an audience member to watch someone who is totally invested in their career, which is probably 90% of, people that exist.
Whether it's songwriting or acting or anything, not even creative. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Finding love within the career it's a challenge because it takes so much of yourself for any job. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not a lot of jobs where you can just leave it at work and go home and not ever think about it, especially being an artist. It's 24/7. That never stops. You know what I mean?
I hear you, bud.
You know, it's constantly going. Yeah.
Absolutely. Talk about just a little bit about your own personal trajectories to get to do this play. First of all, where are you from? Where did you first hear Carole King's music? And when were you become aware of the beautiful musical? Because, I mean, obviously on Broadway, too. So.
Yeah. I grew up in Minnesota. I live in New Jersey now, right across from New York.
But isn't that a joke in the play?
It's totally a joke in the show. Yeah.
Do you think about
New
that?
New Jersey?
Way?
Oh, God, of course. It's the running joke of our lives. But we love where we live.
Go Jersey.
And I actually, when I was, in middle school, you get all those mailers that now they're gone because it's MP3 land and actual, like, songs on the internet.
It's a mailer.
How do you say it? Digital?
Yeah.
Digital soundtracks. Yeah, anyway, I'm 87. It's fine. you get the mail thing and you say, pay $1 and get 10 CDs. Like, one of those first 10 CDs that I chose was actually Tapestry. So I knew Carole King's music right away.
From the get-go.
Basically. Yeah. But then also these songs that she wrote for the Drifters and Shirelles. And, like, I didn't know those were hers, but I knew those songs.
Right. And well, everybody knows all the songs, and that's part of the fun of it. They're like, super fun. They wrote that too?
Super fun. And I became aware of this when it was going to be a workshop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, you mean pre-Broadway,
yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so awesome. I'd been aware and loving it for a long time.
Awesome. How about you?
I'm also from the Midwest. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. I live in New York now. And I knew Carole's music growing up. My mom listened to Motown and oldies and...
Cleveland's Rock Hall is right there.
Oh, yeah, the Rock Hall of Fame, of course, yeah. Yeah, so I've known a bunch of these songs. I remember in middle school doing a class, like, dance thing to Locomotion, having no idea that Carole King wrote Locomotion, of course, but...
And definitely no idea it was a babysitter. There's so many juicy nuggets that come out.
I know.
And it's true. That's
it's
what's
way
funny,
cool.
too. Like, you can't make that stuff up.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, so I saw the show in New York a couple years ago over Thanksgiving, and I loved it. I wasn't sure what to expect. You know, with jukebox musicals are tricky, but like we talked about, ours is different and, like, awesome. So I wasn't sure what to expect, and I was so surprised, and I loved it. And I saw it again, like, 6 months later, and I loved it again, and I emailed my agents, and I said, I know there is a tour going out. How do I do it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And here we are.
What do you think, because we're talking about how this quartet of people wrote all these songs for all these artists. What do you think it was about that four tight-knit, that group? Do you think just talented artists are sort of by nature attracted to each other, and the rivalry just got it going? Or what do you think it was about those four people that could churn out so many?
I think, of course, the talent and the passion for creating these songs. But, I think... when they started in the Brill Building, in 1650 Broadway, it really was like the sort of next step from Tin Pan Alley, where they were in cubicles that didn't even go all the way up to the ceiling, writing songs. You know what I mean? So yeah. you're hearing a lot of inspiration right next to you, and there's of course the competitiveness. You know what I mean? There's only going to be one number one,
yeah.
And if you want to get some money, you got to hit the number one. So I think the competitive drive and the inspiration from being able to hear everyone around you, it's like, how do you be better and better and better and make songs say something in 3 minutes? And yeah, I think that nature, the Brill Building sort of, if I could guess,
yeah,
sort of ushered in that creativity.
Yeah, totally. That makes total sense. Personally, when you, because I obviously you've day in and day out, you know, night in, night out, you keep putting on the show.
Last
one?
Question.
Okay, cool. This is the last question.
Yeah.
But you probably could guess because the file is going to stop in a second. But, okay, yeah, so you do this night in, night out. Obviously, there's got to be something that kind of keeps getting you up and getting you going. Is there one, either a song or a moment, it could just be a regular scene, scripted scene, that you love that never gets old? And you can't say the whole thing never gets old, right. But is there one specific?
Well, it hasn't yet. That's actually
and hopefully
magical.
That's, yeah.
Like,
but is there one, for each of you, you know, is there a certain part that every night on stage you really look forward to getting to play?
I like the top of Act Two.
Yeah.
I have a really great scene with Carol where I get to be a friend, and I just feel like it's so valuable. And I love Abby so much, and I love her Carol so much. And I love that scene, which launches into the next scene that I love, which is our making up.
Yeah.
Which is hilariously written, but then gives you and us exactly what you want. And we sing Walking in the Rain, and it comes back together, and it's sort of real life, fairy tale style, you know, magic. And that would be what I like. I also really enjoy when she just sits at the end of the show and plays and sings.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Like, after you've seen this whole story and you've seen her triumph, and then she plunks down and she nails it, and everyone's singing in the wings, and you just, there's just so much love.
Yeah. How about for you?
It's truly an impossible question that you're asking.
I'm going to make you answer it.
Yeah. I'm going to have to answer like part A, part B. Part
yeah, sure,
C.
Sure, sure.
First of all, I'm not on stage for this, but when the Drifters come and do On Broadway and Up on the Roof and Wonderful, and you hear the audience literally roar at the end of them, like, oh, like
they you can tell it's genuine love.
And you hear it throughout the building, you know what I mean? It's not, it's so epic, and it's, that really gets me hyped up, even though I have nothing to do with that. You know, I mean, you know, we maybe wrote the songs, but,
but other than
the
that.
Performances, yeah, and it's so cool. And another moment that I love, I have this moment where I propose to her and things don't really go so well, and Barry is a guy who feels a lot of things, but you know, he wouldn't want to ever let you know that he's feeling anything. So to get to play that sort of vulnerability in that moment, and to explore another side of this character that we're seeing, you know, is him doing a lot of the same thing, that's really fun for me. To get to do this, the comedy, and then to get to be a little dramatic as well. I really enjoy that.
Well, if you guys think you enjoyed it, we, the audience, loved it. So thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us,
yes,
guys.
Indeed.
And best of luck with all the other performances.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.